Stop blaming it on holiday stress. We all know it's that time of year when everything feels drained, both your wallet and you. Well, the real problem is right under you. It's that saggy, old, unsupportive mattress. Well, say hello to Ghostbed. Ghostbed is family-run, consumer-loving, with over 20 years of mattress-making mastery. They've engineered the perfect sleep weapon. Durable, insanely comfortable, and cool enough to keep you chill all night long. Every Ghostbed packs their exclusive ProCore technology, a powerhouse support system that cradles your back, supports, and aligns your spine. Translation? You wake up feeling like a human again. Hot sleeper? Ghostbed's cooling materials fight heat 24/7, so you don't wake up sweaty, even when the thermostat that's cranked up. And here's the kicker. Fast, free shipping in just 2 to 5 days. A 101-night sleep trial. And up to a 25-year warranty. That's confidence. Right now, Ghostbed is slashing prices. Up to 50% off compared to other brands. And because you're listening, you score an extra 10% off site-wide. Just use promo code PODCAST at checkout. That's PODCAST for 10% off on top of already insane deals. Upgrade your sleep. Upgrade your life. Ghostbed. The coolest beds in the world.
Your future lay out there in the bullpen.
The starters are out. Now it's time to head to the bullpen.
Squad, bullpen, now.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at La Berge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Welcome into the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5. Joe George, Brian McDonald, Sean Mapes here with you until 12 o'clock as we broadcast live from inside the sportsbook at La Berge in Lake Charles. Great weekend of NFL action to be underway. But, boys, last night we watched the conference championship games. Watched some UFC fights in here as well. Great vibe for UFC fight here at the sportsbook. And apparently Anthony Joshua, Jake Paul?
Yeah.
Jake Paul.
Jake Paul. Logan Paul's the wrestler.
I had to double check. I was like, well, Logan Paul fought Floyd Mayweather.
He did. Yeah. So, yeah. Logan Paul did box, but not currently boxing.
Yeah, so we'll have that when we come back. Our next trip, that'll be on Friday night, as well with a college football playoff game. But we will get, within the next hour and a half, I'm guessing here, we'll get the actual seedings and everything like that for the college football playoffs. The show starts at 11, but I don't know, if they're like the World Cup, it might take them 2.5 hours to get to the draw.
Hopefully we don't have to have Shaq and Brady and Gretzky and Kevin Hart and all the pomp and circumstance.
No, just 6'7", Hunter Yurecek doing it.
Joe, we're 1 minute into the show.
I'm referencing
Hunter Yurecek.
Oh, okay, you know what? Fair. I retract. My fault.
But after last night's game, what do you think the fallout from is last night? I mean, it's James Madison and Tulane are in.
Yes.
That's your 11 and 12.
Five, yeah.
What do you guys want and think versus what you think what they'll do with the SEC, with Alabama?
I think they drop Alabama a spot, but they remain in. I think they end up as the 10 seed.
Yeah, they end up as the last at-large team.
And then Georgia probably moves up to the 2.
Yeah.
And then Ohio State 3.
Yeah.
Totally agree.
Although, look, honestly, I said this to you guys last night. Like, if they put Ohio State 2, I have no problems. Like, I think that much of Indiana. I was questionable them coming in just because they played Oregon and like not much else. But they were very impressive last night. I know the offense didn't score a ton, but that defense is unreal.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like I think 2 or 3. No offense to our Texas Tech fans out there. You're four.
They're like, locked in at 4.
It's Georgia and Indiana. I mean, and Georgia and Ohio
Indiana
State.
Indiana 1, Ohio State, Georgia flip. Whatever.
Yeah, they're 2-3. They're at the whatever combination you want. I mean, I've seen a lot of people trying to make arguments about Alabama missing the playoffs at this point, you know, based on their performance yesterday. It wasn't pretty.
I would hate that.
Now, they've lost they lost their other game just a couple weeks ago.
So, yeah, like, Oklahoma was about a month ago.
Okay, yeah, so it's not you know, super recent, but still in like the recent chunk of games. In a perfect world, I'd be fine with Alabama being left off.
Well, here's the thing, like. Yes, I'd be fine with him being left out. I don't think they're a superpower, but it's to put who in.
Because I think Miami.
I don't think it's fair to like Miami to not make their conference title game, but yet they get the benefit from someone who did make their conference title game and lost. Like I wouldn't be okay with that. I wouldn't be okay with like going down. Obviously, Texas is not going to make it. They got 3 losses. Vanderbilt has 2 losses, but Alabama beat them. So, I mean, like, Utah, like, they're not impressive. USC below that, they got 3 losses. Like, who are we putting in instead of Alabama?
Yeah, I mean, if Alabama gets left out, the SEC is canceling conference championship games immediately.
Yeah.
It's just like, all right, we're done. Like that's why they – They can't leave out Alabama. You can leave out Notre Dame if you want. You can leave out Miami. But like, it's literally, it's impossible to leave out Alabama. You'd have to leave out Oklahoma before you left at Alabama.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
I mean, Oklahoma did beat Alabama.
I know. I'm just saying, like, it's that impossible. Like, you cannot leave out a conference championship game loser.
And it's going to be something where it is, like, precedent either setting or precedent affirming or however you want to call it with what they do here. And I think ultimately they'll just be like, hey, you know who we're definitely not going to leave out of this thing because of a conference title game? Alabama, because they're Alabama. Like,
they won seven titles in the last 15 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's the same thing as it's a different version of the Notre Dame-Miami thing. Of like, if it was NC State instead of Notre Dame, Miami's probably ahead of them, but it's Notre Dame.
Really, that's the only question, right? Because with BYU losing, Miami and Notre Dame are probably going to be back-to-back.
Yeah.
I would assume. And even if they're not, what does it matter if one's 9-10 or one's 9-11? Like, what does that actually matter? Like, we know they played. We know they have the same record. The metrics are similar enough. Like, the only question comes down to, is it Notre Dame and Miami? I think two of us know the right answer. No, I'm just kidding. We'll see if they honor head-to-head. Because that, like, I think one of you mentioned precedent. That's a dangerous precedent to set if, like, you're now not honoring head-to-head with teams with the same record.
Yeah. But I also – because I'm with you. Like, we went over this earlier this week, and I know I surprised you and Jeremy a little bit, Brian, about, you know, saying, yeah, Miami should be in. But my issue with it at this point is then if they flip them today, then I don't care. Like, I don't want to talk about it next year, about the rankings. I don't want to have any conversation about it, frankly.
Well, then we'll have to get a different job.
No, but like,
we're going to have to talk about the
rankings. But it's a total waste of time. It's another precedent.
Why have the rankings if you're going to flip them with neither of them playing? Yeah. I agree with you. It's both are bad precedents.
It just becomes like, now this is fully just a TV show for contrivance for the first, whatever, however many weeks they do this. And it's like, really, you can just give me the last one at this point.
Really, I'd be better with that. Like,
give me the last one.
I don't want preseason rankings. I don't want college football rankings until the last one. Like, I don't need to see how the hot dog is made. Just give it to me when it's done.
Yeah, because, like, I off the top of my head, was there ever a college football ranking where Miami was ahead of Notre Dame?
I don't think so. No, because they lost their two games before. They lost the SMU game, I think it was, before the first ranking.
Yeah, so like there hasn't been a ranking where Notre Dame has been below Miami. And now, after they don't play, just because, again, instead of being separated by one team, now they're back-to-back, so now we have to...
It makes no logical sense.
Yeah, it's like, no, they just...
It shouldn't matter if they're back-to-back or they're separated by a team.
They just want to put Notre Dame in this thing.
Yeah, the other thing they could do that would be interesting is if they really decide not to punish Alabama... Then you can't really move BYU either. Now, BYU still doesn't make the playoffs because they're at 11 because of Tulane and James Madison getting in.
I think they do. If they want to leave Alabama, and what you do is you also don't move BYU and see, we didn't punish BYU either.
And then that also helps your Notre Dame-Miami issue if that's what you're focusing on is from the committee, which I think it is. I think they're trying to find every way they can to just get Notre Dame into the playoff because they know what it means revenue-wise, what it means views-wise, conversation-wise. It's going to be the only thing we talk about for college football. Tomorrow.
It is, but
2 weeks.
And I'm not complaining because I'm a fan of it.
Yes.
But at that point, it becomes sports entertainment.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Let's be honest. Like, if we're keeping Notre Dame in and ignoring a head-to-head just because clicks, like, we're really no better than WWE
at
this point.
Well, I think there is – I think they also earnestly think, like, Notre Dame is just better now.
Yeah.
Like, I think they believe that.
There's no way in their system to factor that in a way that you could explain it to the – to the committee or to the viewing public. Like, well, we think they're better. Like, okay. Like, there's no argument against
opinion. They can trudge up some argument. And there's always a number they can reach in and go get.
Go to, like, an eighth tiebreaker or something. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, what this all boils down to is that they just think they're
100%.
Like, that's why BYU was 11th at 11-1 behind what? Three different two teams.
And I feel bad for BYU because they're obviously going to be left out.
Yeah.
And their only losses are a road game and a neutral site game to the number 4 team.
And it wasn't really neutral.
Yeah, like, it wasn't really neutral.
In Dallas.
It was in Dallas. Yeah.
It's
But that's it. That's their only losses.
Yeah.
Road, two road games in Texas against the number four team in the nation.
Yeah, I think I
they spent $1 billion to improve their roster.
The way that this is – well, so is BYU. But,
yeah, that's fair. Okay. The way that part.
The way that this is shaken out, it's there's no doubt that they made the right decision in their mind to push back the college football playoff conversation deadline to January 23rd to expand this thing. I don't know if expansion is still ultimately the right decision.
Oh, they're going to expand it.
This year it feels like the right decision, but last year I didn't feel this way. I didn't feel like
So Alabama, strangely enough, was the team that first team left out last year.
Yeah, and last year, because they had three losses, I didn't feel like they deserved to be in the college football playoff. Like, under the 12-loss system, I thought that was always going to be, a pretty clear line. There was going to be 12 teams that had two losses or less, when you include also the group of five thing, that could, remove all the three loss teams. This year, I do feel differently. I do feel like if your guys, if Hook'em made the playoffs, I think they're one of those dangerous teams in the college football playoff this year. Unfortunately, they have three losses. Vanderbilt, I'd be really curious. I think they're a little overrated. But what would they look like? So I think ultimately, the fallout from today and whoever gets left out, whether it's Miami, Notre Dame, the fact that BYU, to your point, Brian, is going to get left out and only lost to Texas Tech, they're going to expand this thing for sure. The question is just how much.
I think they always seem to lean towards baby steps. Look at the history of what it took to get here. Forever, they wouldn't give us anything. And then they gave us the BCS. And eventually they gave the four. And then, a decade later, they gave us 12? I don't think they're going to, in 2 years' time, jump from 12 to 24 Jeremy wants. I think this is a baby steps, probably 16, or maybe, Joe, what you proposed, the 14. Because that would kind of include BYU and whatever team you think should be next at that point. That would kind of cure what we saw this year. But I think 16 what happens within the next couple years.
Yeah, they're gonna keep expanding.
Yeah.
It's something where it doesn't even matter what they expand to next, because I do think that's it's just going to be 24.
Eventually they're going to get to 24. I just hope it stops there, because you never know, because it's the search for more money.
Well, to your point, if they go to 24 next,
add some play-in games.
That's what, exactly. That's what it's like.
Yeah. Now we're going to have five lost teams getting in.
Yeah. Well, and
Duke could be in.
Easily.
And a 2014 playoff, Duke would definitely be in.
100%. Not even a question. They're the ACC champs.
Yeah.
Now, that's the other part of it that I think is funny. It's just the recency. If the Big Ten is the conference that's pushing the 2014 playoff.
And right.
Part of their proposal has been the top four seeds, the top four teams from each conference get auto bids. I do wonder if they're going to look at the Big 12 and the ACC and be like, yeah, we're going to change that. The way the season's going, you guys are proven, you don't get that.
And they did it last year. I think I'm fine with them getting an auto bid. And even multiple auto bids, as long as there's some sort of mechanism in place to where you have to meet a certain threshold to qualify for that. You get three teams, four teams, whatever it is, but you guys have to have teams in the top 25. If they're not in the top 25, then they revert back to at-large bids.
Yeah.
All right, we will take our first break here. We are broadcasting live from inside the Sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles. We'll keep an eye on when the official rankings start to come out around 11 o'clock. We'll be discussing some Houston Texans throughout the day as they have a massive game versus the Chiefs last night. The Houston Rockets might just stink at back-to-backs. We'll get to all that. But next, the top three teams, current playoff teams, NFL and college, you believe in the most. We'll get to that next here on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. I assume you knew.
Back here on the Bullpen on ESPN 97.5, Joe, Sean, and Brian here with you until 12 o'clock. It's going to be a weather weekend, it looks like, here in the NFL. Lots of snow coming down in Buffalo. J.J. Watt just tweeted out a picture of Jacksonville Stadium. Tarps out. What's the scariest thing
about that? Ryan, are we on?
Okay. There's the tarps out in Jacksonville. So we're going to have a weather day there, which is interesting, because I think that helps Indianapolis in that game.
Yeah, you would think it'd favor running game, and I'd say Jonathan Taylor, obviously, greater sign ETN.
Yeah.
So what I'm seeing, because I've followed a couple of weather people for fantasy purpose, but they're expecting it to be pouring in Jacksonville, snow on the ground in Buffalo, some snow and a light breeze in Cleveland, and then just, you know, really cold temperatures in Green Bay and KC, but no precipitation. So all they're right. Your weather game.
It's football season,
yep.
Officially.
Yep,
like, we're here. Now we get the people who like to have the worst takes of everyone should have a dome.
Oh, I hate those people.
I know. And I like Landry Locker. I hate that he has that take.
Oh, he does?
He's like addicted to that take. And I don't understand why he's so obsessed. I'm like, why, man? Like, we don't need domes.
Or it's going the wrong way, though. Like, Chicago, aren't they building a dome stadium? Cleveland, I think, is building a dome stadium.
Yeah, Buffalo's the only outdoor team that's building a new stadium that's going to continue to be outdoors.
But I don't know if you remember this from Hard Knocks. It is open roof. But they built it in a way, because they said this during Hard Knocks, they engineered it in a way where they don't think snow will actually collect on the ground. So it'll still be cold outside, but they somehow collect.
Those words that just came out of your mouth are so far above my head, because snow comes down from the sky.
I understand, but they have some sort of canopy they think will protect the field from actually collecting snow like it did at Ralph Wilson's.
I hope when they.
That's what they said on Hard Knocks. I don't know, Joe. I'm not an engineer.
I thought it was about the wind.
No,
I thought they were
we
stopped the wind. And that I can kind
they mentioned that as well. Yeah,
that I can wrap my head around, like, okay. It's the breeze off the lake, so if you angle it right, the breeze off the lake doesn't get into
the
stadium.
Look, if the Buffalo Bills are able to pull that off, and the Houston Texans couldn't build a stadium in which the sun wasn't going right into the most expensive seats in the stadium, so that's why they can't.
Continually ripping up players' knees.
Yeah, remarkable.
Dallas putting it like.
The sun.
Yeah, it's like perfectly along where the sun sets. Like,
yes.
They couldn't have, if they would have tried to do it, they could have done it more perfectly than how they actually built their stadium, basically on accident, it seems like.
It seems like the people who build these stadiums in the NFL are maybe not always the most intelligent.
It's like they're really spending $1 billion, and like there's much less, like, I don't know, they're less official and less oppressive of people than you'd think.
Yeah.
They have $1 billion on their hands to build a stadium.
Like Kevin Warren, who is the president of the Bears now, he's helping build the stadium. And I'm like, I don't know if I trust this guy. Because this is the same guy that built the Viking stadium, just killed a bunch of birds.
Oh, yeah.
Because they weren't, like, prepared.
What's a couple birds?
That one
was,
I
like, a couple hundred.
That one I can actually see.
It'll be
like,
fine.
You know, that wasn't a, like, thing they feel bad about. They're like, whatever.
Like,
we could kill 100 during duck season, am I right?
We didn't think that, you know, with this big mirror, basically the birds were just going to fly into it at first.
Didn't,
all the single time.
Didn't even cross our mind.
No.
I mean, 100 Pence walked through a sliding glass door, and
we
could kill a couple birds.
Yeah.
That's all right.
Yeah.
100 Pence survived. They'll be all right.
I honestly, guys, I thought there was a chance I was going to have to do that this morning. My, the shower, it got, like, off the track. I thought I was, like, stuck in the shower one point this morning.
What? So you closed it and you couldn't?
I closed it and I opened it and I, like, gave it a tug. And it was, like, it just kind of, like, moved, like, an inch.
The door was, like, wedged?
Yeah, it, like wedged and, like, got off the track. And I was, like, I think I'm in trouble here for a second. Like, I was, like, this is the worst possible place to get stuck in a hotel, like, in your shower.
Because it's one big sliding door.
Yeah. So I got to open just enough to where, like, when I got out, I was, like, just like squeezing through.
So the May that comes in.
I gave a call down before I went. I was like, hey guys, I was like, this thing's off the track. And like I was like, it was like this when I got here, I promise.
It wasn't that way when you got in.
I mean, I had to give it a good yank to close it, so I probably should have realized in the moment. Child.
We were always headed that way.
Yeah,
that was
right.
Unavoidable.
No, you're right. There's no way to ignore it.
Good yank.
Joe, whatever your morning routine is, I don't need to know about it, okay?
10:20 in the morning.
Just, you do you.
So let's
talk about college football, buddy.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the playoffs. three teams you trust the most, rank them. NFL and college football are your options. So the three teams in the playoffs right now that you trust the most.
I don't know what the NFL pick would be.
I think it's the Rams for me.
Yeah, Rams I think were number one for me. Although it's a hard week to say that after they just came off a loss at Carolina.
They're the one NFL team on my list.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're right. It's hard to say that after like they lose to Carolina. There's also like you can't really ding them. Like, or you can ding them, but you can't put them underneath any other team.
No.
Because it's not like another team.
This is like another team that has like zero blemishes or something.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like if in the college football playoff rankings. Like, if the number one team in the nation lost and they just, like, didn't drop them, that's kind of what we did with the Rams this week. Yeah. Where we're like, yeah, we still think you're really good. You just lost a stupid game.
Yeah, I think the Rams, they come in at number three for me. Because they're the only NFL team. I don't think there's anyone in the AFC that's under consideration for this. Like, I don't trust any of them. And the NFC,
I kind of want to say the Bills, but they've just been so.
See, like, I if I were to pick, one,
as long as they're not playing an NRG, I guess
I would kind of say the Patriots.
Yeah, I do like Vrabel. It's just, you know, it's hard to say full confidence in a guy that's never made a playoff start.
No,
Drake May.
Yeah. Completely fair. Yeah. This is me, like, if I had to pick an AFC one that I tried, they would be the first one.
Because, yeah, like, you look at the rest of it, the Broncos, I don't think anyone trusts them. The Jaguars, the Ravens, obviously not. Chargers don't have an offensive line. Colts and then Bills are the seventh seed, as it stands right now. Yeah, I don't trust any of those teams.
Yeah. No, the AFC feels
so wide open.
It's so open this year. It feels, and I feel like a lot of times it's a cliche that people use, specifically in the NFL. They use it's wide open when it's really never really wide open.
Yeah.
This year in the NFL, it feels like, it just feels so different that there's not just that clear top team in either conference. We all think it's the Rams, but, you know, they're an older team. Like, they're relying on Devontae Adams and Matt Stafford, and Puka's already gotten hurt once this year. You know, Kyren Williams has been some really, really good and some mediocre, I would say.
Yeah, I think Devontae has missed the game, I think. And, look, I don't remember if you mentioned Stafford, but, like, we all know Stafford's one hit away from being out.
Yeah.
Which I guess everyone is, but the dude had an epidural on his back in August.
Even though we all are one hit away from
it feels
an epidural.
Like, it's even more than just one hit away. Like, he's one time, like, bending down wrong from being,
out. Yeah, it's like I'm almost worried about him.
As someone of a similar age, I get it.
I'm worried about him off the field as much as on the field, on a football field. Like, he can hurt himself.
I feel like the odds might be higher off the field. The, like, he's at least well-protected on the field.
In it's the
like,
pickup hey, line with his kids. Yes. Like, it might happen.
He twists wrong picking up the toddler, man. It's over.
No picking up the toddler this season.
Yeah.
Like, you're just like.
Not until February. No, not till March.
Yeah. Even though, I'll be honest, like, this Matt Stafford thing. Part of me thinks it was just, like, the most overblown story ever.
Possibly.
Because it seemed like it was, like, we went from, like, right before they were playing the Texans where it's, like, he might not play. And we have not seen a single moment this year, I feel like, where he's gotten hit. And you're like, uh-oh. He's not getting up quickly.
And beyond that, he's, like, the top two in MVP. It's not like it's not like he's just been able to play. He's playing at maybe his best level ever.
Yeah, and he's not doing, like, recent vintage Aaron Rodgers stuff where it's, like, he is obviously playing not to get hit.
Right.
Like, he is taking.
He threw a block the other day. Like, two weeks ago.
That's wild. Yeah. Like, I didn't see that.
He's like a guy like who's like, he has an epidural in the offseason, and he's like, I'm just going to go block on this reverse. Like, that's fine.
It's built different.
So
Rams, only team we trust.
So the Rams are at three. So then who are the top two teams you trust in college football right now in the playoffs?
I mean, I think I have to put Indiana as one of two. And then it's really a 50-50 between Georgia and Ohio State for me. I think I'd lean Ohio State. I think my top three are Indiana, Ohio State, Rams.
Any different, Sean?
I'd throw Georgia in. I think I could throw Georgia in there.
Just Gunnar Stockton, like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Like, we saw his stats yesterday. Like, it feels like they almost never win because of him.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. It's more in the, like, they're going to have to Stetson their Bennett way, their way through it.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's, like, how Kirby Smart prefers to have his
team
operate.
He doesn't like a margin of error.
He does not like four-star quarterbacks either. It's like, can you be balding as a college athlete? Great.
Can you be balding at 21?
Yes.
You're in.
I love it. I love what you bring, kid. Does Todd McShay and all the draft analysts throw up when they watch your tape? Yep, they sure do. Let's try to win a national championship at Georgia with you. So, yeah, I don't really ding them for Stockton because I kind of think they're built to, like, hide them. You know, it's a little of, like, the Purdy in San Francisco a few years ago where it's like they could still just lean on their defense and just scheme up enough stuff for his to get easy throws to be, like, a threat in the pass game. But they're cool winning these games by punting. You know, they're 100% comfortable doing that.
Special teams one-third of the game, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly right. And what did they do yesterday against Alabama? They blocked a punt that set up a short field.
Kirby ball.
So they could throw a one-yard touchdown pass. Like, that's how they want to win games.
Complimentary football.
Yeah, I think for me, it's
tear to my eye.
I'm Indiana, Georgia, and then the Rams are the three teams to trust the most. And I think Ohio State would be is the easy next option.
Yeah, I had a split second of trying to include Ohio State where it's like, well, I can't actually kick them out I can't kick out Indiana for Ohio State.
Yeah. Like you could kick the Rams out and just be like, I don't trust anyone in the NFL.
That if I were push comes to shove, that probably
it's just hard to I trust three teams in college football when there's only going to be two in the championship game.
Yes.
So it's like I feel like you have to give up on someone a little bit here.
No, I don't.
Or just kicking out the Rams.
I don't. If I think they're all like pretty clear, going to be pretty clear favorites to win their first round game, or the quarterfinal game that they actually play, the first game that they play, which I think would be the case for Ohio State, Indiana, and Georgia. I'm not sure who coming up, that has to play in round one would get matched up with these guys where I'd go, I'm not really sure who I'm picking. I mean, to me, it's Ole Miss is the sixth seed, so they would play Georgia.
Georgia won.
Yeah, or they'd play Ohio State. It's I think Ohio State's better than Georgia.
You look at those three teams, obviously, as Joe said, only two of them make the title game, but I feel very, very confident those three teams we mentioned, Indiana, Ohio State, and Georgia, are all in the semifinals. Yeah. They're all in the final four.
Yeah. How far away do you think Texas Tech is from that group of teams?
I think they're the four.
Is it a gap in terms of trust?
Yeah. I would say Ohio State. Well, you guys would differ with Georgia, but for me, it's Ohio State, Indiana kind of grouped together. Mm-hmm. Real pretty close. Tiny drop to Georgia, and then a more sizable drop to Texas Tech, and then an even more sizable drop
to everyone else.
Yeah. After Texas Tech,
I would put Oregon.
I don't trust Dante Moore.
I'd put them in the same tier, but higher than Texas Tech. Where it's like a. It is a margin call.
So you pick Oregon heads up?
Yeah.
They play?
Okay. Yeah, and they would play it on neutral field. So, yes. Yes, Brian. Felt like I was under oath. So, would you pick them on a neutral? Yes, I would.
Say it, sir.
You want answers?
Yeah,
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
I'm very curious to see the first-round playoff matchups. There's a lot they can do in the college football playoffs. They can make – if they want to have a rematch in the semifinals before the national championship game, they could do that because they could drop Ohio State to four if they wanted to. I don't think they'll do that.
No, I can't imagine they'd drop
I think
they'd
do
three.
That specifically to avoid a rematch before the semifinals.
Yeah, because for a ratings perspective, you would think you don't want to see them play in the national title game, to be honest with you. I feel like you don't want to see Indiana and – Ohio State
I think
again?
You'd rather Indiana or Ohio State versus the SEC.
Yeah. I think at that point, Indiana would become the Miracle on Ice hockey team where it's people would actually be enthralled by this Indiana team.
It's kind of hard not to be.
I don't know. I think diehard college football fans like us, yes. The average public, I don't think, is enthralled by Indiana.
I think there's enough of a casual fan who's only going to watch a quarterfinal if it's on, semifinal, finals.
Yeah.
If they're so it's not going to be Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State every year? There's Indiana. I think there's a little bit of, Cinderella story, that at least gets people to turn it on.
Well, if you want that, we need I guess we couldn't get it if they're the 1-4.
If Duke makes a run,
no,
that'd
I was going to say Indiana, Texas Tech national championship game, but I don't think we could get that if they're 1-4.
No. So. And that's good. That's good. Can't have two Cinderellas. We see that.
There's only room.
I mean, we saw that the last Final Four that Houston hosted. We saw it in the Final Four before that, too, where it's okay.
Yeah, VCU and Butler
and
back
Butler,
in 11.
Yeah. And with a bad UConn team, the second was it the second UConn team? Was it
what was that team that was Kimba and nobody
else?
Oh,
okay. So that was not the Napier one.
No, it wasn't the Napier
one. The same
one.
Formula, just
no,
worse.
No, it was just Kimba and no one else, yeah.
I was just looking at the screen here. Look at that snow.
Yeah.
It is coming down in Buffalo.
That might be bad for Buffalo, honestly. Just because that they're
I mean, I'd favor their running game over the Bengals' running game.
But I would favor the Bengals to be able to run on the Bills than vice versa.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's bad because it's man, they're really going to force Cincinnati to run the ball, and expose our weakness.
All right. It shouldn't matter, but when we get back, we'll go through the new AP poll real quick, just to hit on what that looks like, because that's officially come out. And we'll get to we'll be picking some games here in our next segment as we broadcast inside the Sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles. It is the Bullpen here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios located at LaBerge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Back here on The Bullpen on ESPN 97.5, Joe, Sean, and Brian broadcasting live from inside the Sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles. We're going to check out their VIP fan cave sections. All you got to do is go to the website for LaBerge. Click on the Sportsbook, a QR code is going to pop on up for you. It'll connect you with Pedro or Courtney, and they will help you coordinate a day. They've already locked up their Super Bowl day, but there's obviously college football playoffs coming up. We'll be back out here for the first round of the playoffs. March Madness would be a great time, probably the best time, honestly, to book those things. So you've got four TVs, so you can just kind of be hanging out in there all day long. And within the next hour or so, we'll be getting the college football playoff final rankings. The AP poll came out first. Indiana unanimous number one, followed by Georgia, Ohio State, and Texas Tech. Those are the AP poll's top
four. No problem
there. Oregon, Ole Miss, A&M, Oklahoma, the next four. And then Notre Dame at 9, Miami at 10. And then they had the Alabama 11, BYU 12. So if it were to follow the AP format, Alabama would be out if, again, it follows that. Tulane would be the 11 seed, and JMU would be the 12 seed in the playoffs this year. A couple sports books, I think including this one, have put out some opening lines for the first round of what they're predicting the games are going to be, which I think is a good indicator of what we're going to see here soon. They've got Alabama as 4.5-point underdogs at Texas A&M. Notre Dame as a 5.5-point favorite on the road to Oklahoma. What do you think the James Madison Oregon line is?
Oregon
23.5.
I was going to go 24.5, so we're
21.5.
Okay, all right.
Tulane at Ole Miss. What do you think?
Tulane at Ole Miss. Ole Miss 13.5.
I mean, they did play this game 2 months ago. I would say it's, you said 13.5?
Yeah.
I think you're about right. I'll be different. I'll say 14.5.
17.5.
Okay.
For that. And then Brett McMurphy tweeted out one of the funniest things I've seen today.
Oh.
It's a little dramatic.
Oh.
He goes, "Not much at stake today," says industry source. Here's a quote.
Not?
Yeah, not much. And then, but then this is the quote, so there's a little sarcasm in here.
Oh.
No matter what today, today could be the day of the college football playoff collapse. If they host Notre Dame or Alabama or an entire Power Four league, then they let two G5 teams and only one team from the Big 12 and ACC. I'm praying this ends committees. Hmm. So this source thinks that when these teams get left out, it's going to end the committees. Computer models.
So we go back to the BCS?
But I see. I don't think you can go.
But here's the thing. That doesn't eliminate a committee.
It was still 66.
Two-thirds of the BCS was human polls.
Yeah. I think you have to find. I don't know if there's a perfect computer model that can help you do this.
The only way that you get rid of these debates is if everything's an automatic qualifier.
Yeah. Yes, if you that's do it like only the way. NFL playoffs where it's like you have, you know, top four from one league, top four, and you just add it up to where there's no at-larges. And it's just conference standings.
Mm-hmm. Guess we're joining a conference then.
Yeah, Notre Dame would have to.
It's the only thing. Like, it's,
I mean, where they join the ACC? Although that feels like it's because I know they play their other sports in the ACC.
So that's why they have such an easy schedule.
Yeah,
because half of it's
half
the ACC.
Of it's the ACC.
Because they're in the ACC and every other sport.
Yeah.
I think in theory, yes, it would make the most sense to join the ACC.
I just couldn't see them in the.
However, I think they're going to leave the ACC.
The only other conference that would make sense is the Big Ten. But
it doesn't matter anymore. You always say that, Brian, but like it doesn't matter anymore.
No,
Stanford's in the ACC.
No, I'm not meaning geographically. Yeah. I just mean from like who they traditionally play. Like Michigan State and Michigan USC.
Oh,
it makes sense like to join a conference with those teams in it.
Rutgers.
It's just Maryland. all the favorites.
But, like, you can't run from Michigan and Notre Dame or USC and Notre Dame if you're in the Big Ten. But I think that there's a chance they're going to try to force their way out of the ACC here pretty quickly. Potentially even for everything. Just it seems like the ACC official Twitter account did some serious damage to that relationship during this playoff push for Miami. They seem to, in Notre Dame's view, cross some lines of how much they're promoting Miami over Notre Dame, even though they're basically in the conference. Let's pick some games this weekend. I feel like there's a lot of good ones to go through. We're doing straight up here, and then we got one game against the spread, as you guys always
correct.
Do it.
Okay. I did have a split second of, like, why is there only a spread?
Every single time I do this, I think the same
honestly,
thing.
I would do it where all we right. had the spread for every of them, but, you know, that's not how the game was created, so we played how it was created.
Okay. Where are we going to start? Let's start Colts Jags. Sean?
Give me the Jags.
Okay.
Colts haven't won in Jacksonville since 2014. Brian was a young man back then. Jadeveon Clowney was a rookie for the Houston Texans. Give me the Jags in a rainy one in Jacksonville.
Okay, taking the Jags. I like
Trevor
it.
Bank Stadium.
Brian?
I will take the Colts.
In Trevor Bank Stadium?
In Trevor. I don't trust Trevor Lawrence. It's rainy. Give me the better running team. Jonathan Taylor takes it. Plus, I have Colts minus two, betting with my betting with my wallet.
Have to. Makes sense. I'll take the Colts as well.
I would recuse myself if I had a
conflict of interest,
yes,
sir.
Sir, I cannot. Turn in my badge and gun.
Brian, Bengals or Bills?
I'm gonna.
In the snow.
I have Bengals plus six, but do I think they actually win the game?
Mm.
I do not. I'll take the Bills. I'll take the Bills at home. I do in a snow game. Chase Brown has played better, but I trust, again, better running team. That's definitely the Bills here. Give me James Cook to win it.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll go Bills as well. I'm also on Cincinnati plus six, but that was just a pure – they shouldn't be six-point favorites over any decent team.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
All right, I'll take the Bills as well. I think it's pretty – I don't know. I mean, we'll see how the snow affects this game. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, T. Higgins is coming back, but because of the snow, I feel like that all gets kind of – wiped out.
All of us have picked, like, including Cam and John, have all picked the Bills.
Yeah. It's the one game
so we're all picking the Bills. Huh? Yeah.
Put Sean, on the graphic.
Sean and Belmer are both picked the Jags. Cam picked the Colts. Let's go.
I like my ally.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be allied with John. No offense, John.
No, this is the one he wins.
Your record, not great.
This is the one he wins.
Let's go Bears-Packers.
Sean?
Packers. Easy. Come on.
Packers.
Easy. How bad is John at this game?
6.5?
John is like at least 12 games under 500. Mm-hmm. It's pretty bad. He's in last place.
Well, why did he pick the Bears then?
Yeah, you're catching on here, Joe.
I'll take the Bears. I'm not going to pick against them.
I can pull up his record here in a second. But
never would I ever pick against the
never
Bears.
Never would I ever? Okay.
No.
All right.
That's
you'd
not
never
true
pick a Bears. Okay, I was going to say, what are you talking
at
about?
At least this season. This season I won't. I mean, I bet on them last night.
Because of how
night.
Dominant they are. Yeah.
I bet on them last night just because, like, every game they've played and has been close this year, basically, except for, like, two.
John's overall record, by the way, 12-23.
I mean, that's getting pretty close to, like, Jeremy Branham territory
for a fix.
Who's maybe picking – I'm so shocked.
Everyone else
is
either at 500 or over 500 except for Johnny Belmer.
All right, let's go. Yeah. All right, Texans Chiefs.
Texans, baby. Swarm.
Outright?
Outright. Also have – I'm sorry, I should have recused myself. Also have Texans money line.
You should – or at least disclose that on the front end.
Yeah, I
should
have disclosed that on the front.
Take off your hat like the playoff committee.
Yeah, look, we talked about it a lot yesterday. I just think, you know, Chiefs are offensive line banked up. Their offense overall not as explosive. Give me the pass rush against the Chiefs. I was trying to buy you some time because I can tell you're mulling it
over. I'm mulling. I don't know if I – who'd John pick? He picked the Texans. Give me the Chiefs.
Oh, damn it. I should have looked.
Give me the Chiefs.
Tiebreaker. Tiebreaker. Tiebreaker goes to whatever John did.
Give me the Chiefs.
I really don't.
You're probably on the right side of history.
Yeah, I don't like it. I could easily see it. It is such a 50-50 thing as far as like who wins. You know, like I like the Texans plus 3.5. Like that would be great, but straight up, I don't know.
I didn't want to do this because, but I wanted to flip it. But yesterday on the show, I said the Texans are going to win. I'm not going to change it now, so I'll stick with the Texans. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be a flip flopper. Out here.
Don't listen to the. I don't know if you can listen to the hour that Brian and I did on Friday, but
oh, you're flip flopping.
Yeah, I am. I am flip flopping. I made the
did
case.
Did they get podcasted? I have no idea.
I made the case for like 35 minutes. Why they should win.
And then the last one here we'll pick this weekend. Steelers Ravens. It's still 6 right now.
Yeah. This is when I looked like an hour ago. So if okay. It's changed, forget
yeah,
me,
it's but. 6 for the first time ever. Lamar Jackson and Aaron Rodgers playing a football game.
Interesting.
Yeah, I did not know that. Adam Schefter just tweeted that
random
out.
Random note, that's mildly interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because right. Lamar gets hurt all the time.
Yeah, that's true. And they weren't in the same division.
Yeah.
Right?
And
I think Sean has said this, I think, multiple times. Like, why would the Ravens ever be favored by 6 against anybody? And there is merit to that. It's just I think the Steelers are ass. I really do. Like, the run defense hasn't been good. Aaron Rodgers is banged up. He's not been good. DK Metcalf has been a disaster. And it's on the road. I'm going to take the Ravens -6. I'll throw in a little extra bonus. John Pick the Steelers. So give me the Ravens -6.
Okay.
Why would the Ravens be favored by 6?
I don't know. I don't know. Why? I just play the games they put in front of me.
Why are they favored by 6? Give me the Steelers.
And I'm going to go Steelers.
Man. Okay. You're lighting yourself with Johnny Palmer.
I know, but the Ravens have not been, and Lamar specifically, has not really been impressive.
No.
Any game coming back yet?
He's like, also been ass.
Like, it's just, at some point, you think it's going to click a little bit with them, but, like, it really hasn't. I'm still stunned by the Mark Andrews news this week. Like, 3 years, $40 million.
Dollars. Another deal? I don't.
I probably would have.
I guess Isaiah Likely's out the door.
Yeah, and they must just not trust him to stay healthy, so that's why they're moving on.
Maybe
and just
so.
Going to be going in that direction going forward. But, all right, it is the bullpen here on ESPN 97.5. When we get back, let's take a look. We'll talk a little bit about last night's Rockets game. They're now 0-2 on the season on the second night of a back-to-back. So is that a trend that we need to now keep looking at going forward the rest of the season? We'll get to that next year. Broadcasting live from inside the sportsbook at LaBerge on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Is the bullpen
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at LaBerge Casino Resort, Lake Charles. Here's Joe George, Brian McDonald, and Sean Mapes.
Something we mentioned yesterday as we were discussing the NFL and coaches that could be fired this offseason. I think Adam Schefter was listening because I woke up to like 3 notifications about Mike Tomlin not getting fired this offseason.
Did he get the dreaded vote of confidence?
And not that, but just the reporting is just he's not going to get fired. But there is – he has a team option for 2027 that they must make by March. That decision must come March 1st. So they're saying he's not going to get fired. But then what if you don't pick up his option? Like, you're just going to tell Mike Tomlin, like, hey, man, you're a lame duck. That seems like a weird decision.
Yeah.
Like, I just fire him then.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's what normal NFL teams do. But, you know, Pittsburgh Steelers with especially the head coaching position, not really a normal team.
Yeah. This is like their fourth coach.
Yeah. It's not usually how they operate. Or actually, there's not really enough of a sample size to know how they operate at all in a coaching system.
It's 3 coaches going back to, like, the early 70s.
Yes. Right? And Cowher got to retire.
Oh, yeah, he got to pick his out.
Yeah, and I don't know what Chucknell did. Sorry.
I'm not aware. I don't really buy this report from Schefter, not as in that he's definitely going to be fired. I just don't think the Steelers have made their decision either way. Like,
yeah.
I could see, as of now, them thinking, okay, he's coming back. But what if they lose out? What if it gets embarrassing? Like, maybe you just blame it all on Aaron Rodgers and you move on and you trust Tomlin because he's had a winning season basically every other year except for the year that he had Aaron Rodgers, but I don't think they've made this decision yet.
No, they got to find their way out of quarterback hell.
Well, there's only one way. This is the purgatory they've decided to put themselves into. But it's kind of like what the Colts were doing for a long time, and arguably still doing now, because unless you think Daniel Jones is the long-term answer, even if he is, though, he's not under contract long-term. Like, unless you decide to take your three-loss season, you're going to be kind of stuck in, oh, well, let's sign Matt Ryan. Let's sign Phillip Rivers. Let's run Jacoby Brissett out there. Like, it's going to be this never-ending cycle of these retreads who are just good enough to get you to 9-10 wins and make the playoffs, but you can't win a title and you're not bad enough to get your next quarterback. Yeah. Or you do take your quarterback, and because you're drafting like 24 overall, it's Kenny Pickett.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're not really a team that's going to splash the pot with first-round picks to move up to go get
no.
that guy.
Yeah.
You know? So, it's a situation where that was my defense for Tomlin for a few years, was like they haven't really ever tried to replace Ben Roethlisberger. And even the last 3 years of Brendan Roethlisberger, you probably should have wanted to replace him. And they haven't, you know, invested at all in that position. Even I wouldn't count Kenny Pickett as a serious, like,
you know. It was a first-round pick.
Yeah, but come on.
And they gave him 2 years. But I get what you're saying.
Yeah, and so now it's kind of reached the point where you might need to get rid of Tomlin to then invest in the quarterback, because
he'll never let you tank.
Let you tank, or, you know, make a big trade for one.
Or just, you know, fire Mike Tomlin, bring in a new coach, like, 2 years, let him suck, suck for a quarterback.
I have a name for
And
you.
Then when Arch Manning is the Steelers quarterback, then you just rehire Mike Tomlin.
There we go.
Just bring him back.
There we go.
You lost me in Arch Manning. I don't know if it feels like they're taking more mobile Kenny Pickett.
Yeah. What's your theory?
No, I was just going to make a joke. Like, if you need to suck for a couple years to get your quarterback, I have a name for you, David Coley. He's available.
Oh, gosh.
Look, he will get you the result you need.
Every
job has a perfect man for the job.
Well, I guess it was Lovey who won that last game.
Yeah, Lovey.
Coley.
Did it right. They got CJ Stroud.
Thank you, Lovey.
Hashtag Lovey was right.
Yeah. Thank you, Dusty. Thank you, Lovey.
I hate that take.
It wasn't serious.
No, I know, but people say it all the time.
Like, I know.
Just because Nick Caserio got stopped from taking Bryce Young doesn't, like, it's why.
Well, and I don't know why people take it as 100% lock that he would have taken Bryce Young.
It's just what McClain reported. Like, that's why.
He also reported that there's no way they're going to pass on Johnny Manziel.
100%.
And then he had to eat a phone book.
Yeah, it's a whole phone book.
Well, that was the joke, and I think he just ate one paper from it.
Now, see, I feel like if you're saying you're going to eat a phone book, you have to, like, obviously no one's going to make you eat the whole phone book. I do feel like the more than one page.
How many pages would satisfy your bloodlust here, Joe?
How many pages?
Paper lust,
yes.
Timber how lust. Many pages are in a phone book?
A lot.
Hundreds?
A lot.
I don't know.
I'll be honest, like, I haven't seen a phone book in...
No, no one has. It's really an indictment upon,
how about,
even in 2014, the fact that John McClain
I know.
Used that
it
as one.
A pretty dated reference.
I would say
even
like,
in 2014, it was dated.
How about one page for every 100?
Yeah, I think.
Because I don't think it's been purely, like 2,500 pages.
I'm purely guessing, like 500 pages?
Wait.
Does that sound
so he
in the ballpark? So that'd be five pages?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
He said that they. Texans wouldn't pass on Jadeveon Clowney.
No, on Johnny Manziel.
On Johnny Manziel, and instead they picked Jadeveon Clowney first.
Correct.
And Johnny Manziel went, what, like 26?
23rd, 24, something like that.
I feel like he has to eat 23 pages.
Oh, one page per,
per pick.
You're right. That would have been the way to do it.
Yep. Okay, I'm glad we solved it retroactively.
Yeah.
If you're listening, I know you are. You owe us 23 pages.
With interest.
With interest.
No, yeah.
It's now 35 pages, General.
500 to 1,000 for
okay.
a phone book.
I think we said 500.
Yeah.
So
one.
But
one
we're throwing that part out because now we're saying one page per mispick.
Yeah, we locked it. That makes sense.
Yeah.
That would have been the right
if
way.
Only,
that's fair and just.
What senior in high school Sean could have
like,
helped
like
out the general.
Called into the general.
Hey, I can fix this.
What a strong stance to have. And then he goes 23rd or whatever it was you said?
Yeah it was to, I don't remember where
it was
Cleveland
in the 20s.
Him. It was definitely in the mid-20s.
Because I think they traded up to get him, which is also hilarious.
That's yeah. No, I think you're right. I think they do that.
Did the Broncos also trade up for Tebow, or did he just fall to them?
I think he just fell to the Broncos.
Because I feel very similarly about those two picks. Like, everyone in the world except for one GM knew that was a disaster.
I mean, hey, you know what? Tim got him to the playoffs and won a playoff.
It was a 5 yard slant that the Marius Thomas broke.
They won the division that year, Brian.
Not because of him.
What are you talking about? They went on a winning streak when he played.
They won in spite of him.
But they were losing before he played.
I mean, but there was some like.
And then they won.
Tim Tebow is right about his religion things happening. It felt like. Where every single week there was something absurd happening.
Oh, and was that not on the scouting report coming out of the draft?
Pros, Jesus is behind them.
Maybe smiled upon by the Lord?
That makes me so mad.
Okay, I need to look up Lance Zierlein's draft guide from 2011.
I just remember Mary
Favored
and Barb.
By Jesus.
I just remember like Mary and Barbara running out of bounds like an idiot.
Oh, yeah, that was one of the games.
Yeah, he ran out. Like, the Bears were going to win. They said to run the clock out. And Marion Barber just ran out of bounds for no reason. And the Denver got the ball back, and then Tebow took them right down the field.
The other thing I remember from the Tebow era, it was 2009. The Texans were playing in Denver. And obviously Tebow won with, you know, with religion and running game.
Uh-huh.
But, like, the rare time in the Texans, in that order. The Texans defense actually gave up 300 passing yards to Tebow in that game. I think that might have been one of the
only. Really?
Yeah. If it wasn't the only one of his career, it had to be like one of two.
Wow. I wasn't sure he had any 300 yards.
He did against the Texans in 2009.
Yeah, and in the Demaryius Thomas playoff game.
Yeah.
The 5 yard slant that went for 75. Yeah.
I mean, that helps you out.
75. That's in the scorebook.
All right, let's take a break.
It all looks like a line drive.
They don't ask how. They ask how many.
Numbers are numbers. Let's talk some Rockets here when we get back. It's the Bullpen Broadcasting Live inside the Sportsbook at LaBerge on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.